As you know, at this show that I got the vaccine, I got the Moderna vaccine. My second one was April 17th, and I got it in this arm, and I never got better. I got sick from it. I got all the exhaustion, headaches, chills, fever, joint aches, body aches, the whole deal, and they never went away. And then at the fifth week, I got a super horrendous stiff neck right here. Also, my producer got it at the fifth week, and Steph got it at the fifth week, which is why we all got like, what the hell's going on? We all got stiff necks in the same week, 5 weeks after our second jab. I looked it up. It says, turns out that's a thing. So I had to go. I got into a study where they were trying all different kind of drugs. They were trying fluvoxamine, ivermectin, prednisone. So they were trying all these things that the CDC recommends, by the way, that you try. That people don't know that. The CDC recommends that there be trials of ivermectin to treat COVID because it does so in vitro, whatever that the hell means. So I guess in like a laboratory setting, it has some effect. Ivermectin has some effect on the SARS COVID thing. So I was in it, and now I'm getting better. I'm not all the way better. I still have my neck hurts me all the time. Gives me headaches. But everything else seems to be calming down. And I got lucky I didn't get any heart inflammation. So here's a guy, Eric Clapton. Now, I remember a time when Eric Clapton was everybody's hero, especially people my age. He was their hero. Everybody loved that guy. And I was always a mild fan of Eric Clapton, not a huge fan. But now people are hating him because he got the jab and he had, he's going to tell you what happened.
I probably shouldn't have had the first jab, but then I was offered the second. And I thought, well, what have I got? What's the point in, you know, stopping now? So I went and had the second and then it got really bad. And within about a week, I had lost. My hands didn't really work. I suffer from a condition already called peripheral neuropathy, which is nerve damage pain, really. This went ramped up from, on a scale of 10, say, from 3 to 8 or 9. Agony and chronic pain is not, you know, when you know that nothing will work, there's no medication you can take that will help, is very, very frightening. And the worst thing is you don't know when it's going to wear off or when it's going to go away. So that was... That was what frightened me the most, medically, health-wise. And it still does, because I have gigs to do, I have recording work to do, but I can't, to touch the guitar, to play the guitar, is not fun, and it's something I do, you know. Then when I put it down, it's there until I go to bed, and I take sleeping pills because I can't sleep because of the pain, and that's not... It's not a good way to live, but and it's not all due to the vaccine, but the vaccine took my immune system and just shook it around again, and that's still going on. So, and that's then I read, you know, a lot of the evidence that I had been reading about with people that were having adverse reaction. That was on the list, was, you know, damage to the immune system.
Do you feel like you were made aware of those risks beforehand?
Oh, God, no. God, no, I didn't even know there was a yellow card report. I didn't know there was any such thing. My doctor said, oh, you should... My GP here in London said, because I had to get it done on NHS with an NHS doctor that I've known too from in the country for a long time. He didn't say anything. They gave me a leaflet for the first jab, which I didn't really look at, but they didn't say anything about adverse reactions. They do say you might feel a bit sore, or, you know, like you'd say for a... But they did say also they're safe. You know, it's effective and safe. And I called my the NHS doctor after the second jab, and I said, I've been told there's a yellow card system that, where I can complain about after effects. He said, yes, they still go, because I told them about... And he said, well, I'll fill in the report and send it. I never saw a yellow card. I mean, that apparently that's stays with the doctor, but I didn't, you know, that stuff was not made known. I lost the use of my hands for about 3 weeks. So I thought I was in real trouble. And that's about that point. I was invited by Robin Minotti to talk about it because it was easy to say yes, because I realized that I wasn't the only one that was suffering adverse reactions. And whether or not I have gigs to do in the autumn, I know maybe vitamin D will help. There's not much else that does do anything other than being really careful. And that, you know, that's my experience from having had the second jab that I should have made earlier, is that I believe most of all in free speech and freedom of movement, choice of movement and life, and love and kindness. And been with all of this exposure to the polarization of the politics and the medicine and the science, I found it very difficult to be neutral, because I've seen scorn and contempt from both sides, and I get caught in the crossfire a lot. But I don't really feel educated enough to know enough about either of these areas. So I'm talking today on behalf of people like me who may have been, maybe lost, maybe need to hear someone talk about it from a human point of view without condemnation.
So he told a story. That's his story. People are giving him a hell of a time for telling a story. Uh-huh. By the way, so people want him to shut up. And that's not how science works. So they have a vax VAERS, it's called, in the United States. I think over there he was referring to yellow card. I don't know what that is. I guess it's similar. You can report your adverse reactions. It's a government website. You go and you report it. Your adverse reactions. Why? So then they know what they are, and they can make the vaccine safer. So all the people who want people like him to shut up or people like me to shut up, you're all part of a big pharma cover-up. Are you happy? Because that's what that is. If you don't want people to talk about their adverse reactions, then you're encouraging a cover-up. And that's being anti-science. Of course you are. But of course you watch MSNBC and you haven't had an original thought in your fucking life. But that's where I live. I live in the world of original thoughts. That's why I'm here. That's why we stand out from all the other claptrap. Here it is. Rolling Stone. Eric Clapton isn't just spouting vaccine nonsense. He's bankrolling it. Eric Clapton went from setting the standard for rock guitar to making full tilt racist rants to becoming an outspoken vaccine skeptic. Did he change, or was he always like this? What the fuck? He stepped out of the liberal. You cannot step out of line. And he's questioning what he's had an adverse reaction to the vaccine. Let's paint him like a racist Nazi conspiracy theorist nut. Instead of what he is, a victim. A guy who got injured from a vaccine, which we all know happens. So he got injured by the vaccine and told his story. And now they're going to turn him into some kind of a grifter because of it. A guy who, believe me, doesn't need money. Especially at his age. What's he going to do with it? He doesn't need money. Guy could go sell out a stadium anytime he wants. But they're going to pretend that's why he's doing this. He's bankrolling it. What the... God damn. So... what's this? You got legendary artist Eric Clapton. He got vaccinated and a booster and an exacerbated an existing nerve condition, and now his hands won't work. And he's going to start telling people about it? I don't get it. Is it because he's racist? What the fuck? I say let him starve with the other anti-vaxxers. They're mostly black and brown, so he'll really hate it.
Celebrities have the power to sway millions of people, which is why it's so alarming when particularly the ones with huge platforms publicly spread vaccine disinformation.
Celebrities have the power to sway millions of people, unlike corporate-funded news networks who get their money from Big Pharma. They have no power. She's the underdog. But you're going to find out something pretty interesting. Not only is Joanne Reed, we've showed you she's a garbage person who will do tell any lie at the behest of the establishment, but here she is going to demonize a rock legend who got injured by the jab. But I'm going to show you the hypocrisy in just a second.
Rock and roll icon Eric Clapton is the latest example, making news today for donating a van and 1,000 pounds to British anti-vax group Jam for Freedom. As Rolling Stone reported today, that's just the tip of the iceberg for Clapton.
So let me get this straight. A musician has a take people don't agree with. He sang about it, and he gave some other band a van. That's news, somehow. That's news. So let's watch the rest.
He participated in one of singer Van Morrison's four anti-lockdown songs last year. And he's spoken out against the vaccine ever since he claimed he had adverse effects from it.
He sang with another guy about vaccines. What in the hell is going on? He sang with another guy about vaccines. What? And who gives a shit? Why aren't they allowed to sing about it? I think musicians can sing about anything they want to sing about, and people can make their own decisions. You know, I heard John Cougar Mellencamp's music before, and at no point did I want to live in a small town. And I don't want to vote for Bloomberg either. Isn't this a? And he claims he had adverse reactions from the vaccine. Why would you fucking? What? Yeah, this is his big scam. He's going to wait and say, I know when the vaccines come around, I'll get it. And then I'll pretend I'm injured. Why? I don't know. For what? I don't know. Oh, I know. I can write a song about it. You mean something that happened in your life? Like that's what you write songs about? Things that happen in your life? You shouldn't write one about that. Why? Because Joanne Reed wants you to participate in a Big Pharma cover-up so that we never make the vaccines better and people continue to get injured.
Claiming pro-vaccine propaganda, Clapton then released an anti-vax song called This Has Gotta Stop and went on a tour of Red America, where he took a picture with Bounty Hunter Texas Governor Greg Abbott, because of course he did. Now, what really stands out about white anti-vaxxers in particular is that they act like their freedom has been taken from them. And they have this weird habit of trying to do that by co-opting the history of actually oppressed people. Like former SNL comedian Jim Brewer, who blamed the cancellation of his shows on segregation or forcing people to show up with vaccines and declared that, quote, I'm not going to be enslaved to the system. Yeah, because getting a free vaccine is exactly like slavery in Jim Crow.
Well, not having bodily autonomy and having to take a medical procedure against your will, I think it's a pretty big deal. And you're going to find out that Joanne Reed feels the exact same way in just a second. But let me just say, you know, if people are turning anti-vax, because she calls him anti-vax, which he's not. He's just telling you he had an adverse reaction to that vaccine. That doesn't make him anti-vax. That means he's a guy who got injured from taking a vax. He's the opposite. But if you're going to call someone who then turns anti-vax after they get vaxxed, that's not a great sign for the vax. All I'm saying is if you're anti-vax before you even try the vaccine, then of course you should be sent to a Chomsky camp. But if somebody tells you what happened to them after they got vaxxed, maybe you should hear them out. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, let's say Eric Clapton ate at a Chipotle and he has the rare 1 in 5,000 reactions and he gets diarrhea so severe that it causes him nerve damage and he can't play the guitar. Does that mean he's anti-burrito? No, it means maybe Chipotle didn't cook the burrito long enough. He's not claiming burritos don't work. Let's see what else stupid shit she has to
say. Clapton is no different. He claimed that vaccine mandates are discrimination. The lyrics of his song with Van Morrison include, "Do you want to be a free man or do you want to be a slave?" And as Rolling Stone points out, this isn't Clapton's first nasty brush with matters of race. He used a derogatory term to describe his friend Jimi Hendrix in 1968.
In 1968. Right around the time when they were still cracking black people's heads for wanting to sit in the front of the bus in America that everybody endorsed. They go back to 1968 to call him a racist. Why? Because he broke the liberal rule of telling the truth about his reaction to the vaccine. You break that rule, they're going to cut. They've called me a racist. They've done this to me too. You break the liberal rule, as Chomsky pointed out. The liberal media is there to set the parameters for acceptable debate. And right now, Eric Clapton and Van Morrison and Jim Brewer are outside of it. And so is Jimmy Dore. So they've been trying to cancel me since I did Forced to Vote. They've been trying to cancel me. You can't cancel me. Jesus Christ.
I mean, maybe he's just a jerk. So Eric Clapton, for your dangerous rhetoric on COVID precautions and vaccinations, you are tonight's absolute worst.
So apparently the Biden White House could not find someone more credible for their ritual stoning of Clapton than the MSNBC hack who blamed time-traveling Russian hackers for her anti-gay diatribes and was an outspoken vax skeptic under Bad Orange Man. So she's the biggest homophobe in the world, had unbelievably homophobic and, I don't like that term, homophobic. There should be a term, homo-hating. So she wasn't homophobic. She didn't fear them. She homo-hated them. Mm-hmm. So now she blames it on Russian hackers, and she's the biggest lying piece of shit there is on television. There's no bigger one than that. And here we go. You want to see why? Watch this.
Because history actually holds a lot of different lessons for us about politicians rushing to science when it comes to vaccines. In early 1976, a strain of swine flu was discovered in the United States, which sparked fears of a wider outbreak. In an attempt to avert a full-blown pandemic during an election year, no less, President Gerald Ford announced his intent to vaccinate the entire United States population.
Inoculations are to be available at schools, hospitals, physicians' offices, and public health facilities. Their reaction to the shot, I am told, may mean a few sore arms for a day or two. A very small price to pay for this vital protection.
That vaccine was indeed produced at warp speed and was delivered to the public in less than 6 months. In fact, in a widely publicized event that October, President Ford himself received the vaccine before the TV cameras, all part of a PR campaign to encourage mass inoculation. However, the ambitious program was abruptly suspended when the vaccine was linked to a rare neurological disorder in some patients. And thankfully, that epidemic never materialized. But it is a reminder that political expediency should not drive scientific decision making.
Oh.
Now, fast forward to today.
So it's okay to talk about a different vaccine and the adverse effects that it gave to people. That doesn't make you an asshole like Eric Clapton somehow, or a racist. Somehow she's not a racist for doing that. Or a homo hater instead of a homophobe.
Can all see that the 45th president is emphasizing the speed of a vaccine more than the science.
Mm. My administration cut through every piece of red tape to achieve the fastest ever by far launch of a vaccine trial for this new virus. It's called Operation Warp Speed. That means big and it means fast. Moving on at record speed. Better come up with a good vaccine because we're ready to deliver it.
I want to bring in Dr. Patrice Harris, president of the American Medical Association, as well as Peter Baker, chief White House correspondent for The New York Times. And I believe Steve is still with us as well. And, you know, Dr. Baker, Dr. Harris, let me start with you first. This was the testimony yesterday about the time frame for bringing a vaccine to market or for people to for it to be usable for people from Dr. Bright, who was dismissed from.
So that's kind of stunning to watch that. Was that, were you not stunned to see her do the exact thing she just pilloried Eric Clapton for? Except the difference is Joanne Reed wasn't the victim of an adverse reaction to a vaccine. She just didn't like Donald Trump. So she started spewing anti-vax propaganda. She didn't even get injured. She didn't even need a reason to do it except she hated Trump. Now who's the piece of shit? Is it Eric Clapton or is it Joanne Reed? It is Joanne Reed. I mean, will anyone at all ever fully trust Joanne Reed? Because she tweeted out, I mean, will anyone at all ever fully trust the CDC government again? The CDC, she said this. And who on God's earth would trust a vaccine approved by the U.S. FDA? How do we get a vaccine distributed after this broken Trumpist nonsense has infected everything, even if Biden wins? That's what she was saying back then. Now, do you see the kind of bottom-feeding garbage person that she is, that MSNBC gives millions of dollars to every year? Because whenever they need her, she'll lie and say whatever propaganda they want her to. Hey, go tell everybody not to trust the FDA and the CDC. Go tell everybody. Okay. Hey, go tell everybody Eric Clapton's a racist, maniac, conspiracy theorist, Alex Jones hater because he does trust the CDC. What the fuck? Because he got the vaccine. She'll do anything. She'll smear anybody, lie about anything. And of course, she's welcomed in open arms by every shit liberal I know in Hollywood. They love her. Every shit liberal I know in Hollywood loves her. Former CEO of the, former executive producer of The Simpsons, Dana Gould, loves her. Can't stop tweeting about her. Now you tell me, Eric Clapton's the guy I'm supposed to not like in this story? Or is it MSNBC, Joanne Reed, and everybody, every mindless idiot who consumes MSNBC's propaganda credulously? Okay. I want to let you know, on November 6th, we're going to be in Baltimore. November 11th, we're in Tempe, Arizona. November 12th, we're doing Los Angeles and Studio City. November 19th, Los Angeles and Studio City. And then Thanksgiving weekend in Portland, Oregon. Go to jimmydorecomedy.com for a link for all those tickets.